Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to embark on the path that, when followed correctly, produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. We find high-performing international talent and put them into high-performing environments that will build and run for you. And we stay on top of them every single day so that they have no choice but to produce consistent results. We found this to be the fastest way to expand production, save time, lower stress, and get back to leading instead of micromanaging. Plus, you can save up to 70% versus hiring locally. You can learn more at VAIQ.net. Today's guest is Crispin Thompson. He's a seasoned leader and executive with close to 30 years' experience in tech and is now the founder of The Leadership Studio, a leadership firm based in San Antonio, Texas, focused on helping leaders achieve their potential. Crispin, welcome to the show. What is one thing you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
You know, I think in my experience, one thing that I feel like I'm very good at, hopefully, is kind of identifying what's the right way for someone to learn. What's the right way for someone to learn and get better and kind of pull themselves up to where we'd like them to be. And I've seen that a lot in teams I've led and individuals. And you know, one thing I always found is that as a leader, you cannot lead the same way. And so my ability to kind of look at this person needs to lead, needs to learn this way. This person needs to learn that way. Being able to focus my messaging, focus my leadership style to get the best out of them, I think has been really, really proven out by the outcomes, the achievements, the successes I've had in the organizations I've led over the years.
Yeah, you know, I was on a conversation about this recently where I'm trying to reach a certain audience, and I have this big blanket message, and I'm going out to all these people. And well, each audience resonates differently because each audience
For
is
sure.
there for a different reason, and we have to kind of like match that message to them so that it can be well received. And so what are some of the indicators that you look for so that you even know when and like how to adjust your message?
So it starts with what do we know about the audience? And so if we have the luxury, which is unfortunately a luxury these days, of being in the room, physically in the room with someone, that's fantastic, right? Because then we probably know who's going to be there. We can take some time ahead of time to learn a little bit about themselves, maybe figure out what's their purpose or focus in that session, in that meeting, in that whatever. And then in the room, we can of course watch for cues. We can watch for body language. We can watch for eye contact. We can watch for, you know, closed off feelings, that sort of thing. It's not so easy, right, when it's virtual. So when it's virtual, the message then for the leader is you've got to slow down. You've got to be willing to ask questions, to seek out clarifying points. If you feel like you're trying to deliver a message that has some ambiguity or might create some tension, or it's like we believe this is not going to be well received, then we need to slow down. We need to ask the question, did that make sense? Does that resonate with you? Based on what I just said, are you willing to kind of hear the next part, or do we need to keep talking about this? I would much rather a leader slow down the message, and maybe it takes longer to fully land the maybe multiple sessions than to feel like we hit some sort of minute milestone and then did not achieve the task that we needed, which was to get a yes or to get a no or whatever it is we needed out of that session.
You know, it's funny, like just kind of looking for those clues, and it is much harder to do virtually. I remember I was meeting with this guy online on a Zoom call, and he basically he did the entire call like this. And for those of you who aren't watching the video, I'm looking 90 degrees to the right, and he did the entire call like that, and I'm just like, are you even paying attention? Are you like checking your email right now, man? Like, what are you doing? And turns out that's where the monitor was, and his camera was just on the side. So he was paying perfect attention, but I couldn't tell because it was throwing me off. It looked like he was just checking his email.
You know, it's we all had to learn these lessons. Like a lot of us worked remotely or semi-remotely before COVID, but COVID then changed a lot of this. And how do we do all these things? And you know, we had to kind of create gentle nudges for people. Oh, hey, you don't have to turn your camera on every time. I understand Zoom fatigue and all that, but let's turn it on once in a while. Let's see faces. And then you get the opportunity to say, oh, hey, by the way, Either change your monitor or change your camera because you've got a great profile, but that's all I'm seeing, that sort of thing. So,
It's a good bust. It'll look,
yeah,
it's a great image
exactly.
for the
Might make a
penny.
nice brooch someday. Yeah.
And so how does this translate, understanding that communication style and really reaching through to people? I personally believe that that is one of the most fundamental skills to develop in order to be an effective leader. And
Yeah.
I don't want to take anything away from you, but I'd love to understand, like, what are your priorities for somebody to be a great leader? Like, what are those skills that they need to really develop first?
So I put a premium on communication as a leader because I believe that, and notice I'm saying leader and not manager, right? I think if to be a good manager, that's not my role to get you there. That's where you work, that's your company, or go take some class in B school. That's learning to be a manager and focusing on tasks and all that. That's one thing, it's an aspect, but leading people toward a common goal, shepherding them through maybe difficult conversations or difficult times or challenge, that's the role of leaders. And I fundamentally don't believe you can be a good leader without being a good communicator. I think you can be an okay leader, but when times are tough, then this is where it falls apart. And then when there are situations of ambiguity, when maybe there's like I said, I worked in tech for a long time, so there's always the next layoff, that sort of thing. So when these things are coming up, if you don't have someone that can engage with the audience, that can project themselves authentically, which I think is super, super important. Then the audience loses them. And if the audience loses the leader, then you create more questions, you start to create lacks of trust. And if you the instant that sort of crack begins and the sort of lack of trust, then it just snowballs, right? And then now it's, oh, I don't think I trust, I don't think I believe. And then the next time there's another message, well, I don't know if we should believe now. And then it just creates kind of an erosion of all the lessons that might come from the future. So I put a big premium on communication. In fact, when we begin to engage with either an individual or a cohort of multiple individuals, we almost always start with a couple of very fundamental things. We start with one basic rule, which is that perfection is unachievable. So stop it, right? So I think that a lot of leaders shy away from giving big messages or speaking in front of big rooms because they're worried about screwing up or making a mistake, and perfection is your enemy. You can just try to be better. I think that's a better path. But then we always start with something that I just call the communication basics. And the phrasing that I use is we focus on voice, persona, and focus. So voice is you. What is it that you need to do to feel more confident, to be more well received and perceived? Persona is about the audience. What do they need? How do we tailor that? And focus is the content, right? Is it too much? Is it too little? Are we landing the message? And when you put those three things together, then you, the speaker, feel great. You, the leader, feel like you're landing things authentically. The audience feel as they were spoken to and heard. And then you also get out of what did you need? You needed a yes or a no, or just a general understanding and education. But those three things together become the foundation of a lot of other things that we focus on as we start to develop leaders.
And what have you seen to be a trait that people think they need for leadership, but is really completely useless?
So I think
I would say
this notion of
maybe I'll walk that back. Not useless, but not nearly as effective as they thought it was.
maybe I would say it overvalued. So I think certain leaders believe that they just have to be a confident speaker, that they need to be able to speak and not seem nervous, not waver in their voice. And I, again, it's great to have, but I think that is overvalued because if you're asked a question and you cannot reply, in a kind of a genuine manner, if all you have is the good voice, then you should go read the news on TV, right? That's where that should be. So I think that's a slightly overvalued trait. And I think the undervalued trait is introspection, the ability to kind of look inside yourself and decide, here's what I'm good at, and I should lean in there, or here's something that I have a weakness on. And then you have a decision, right? If you're weak in an area, your decision is, can I make myself better? And certainly, where I am in my career, if I'm weak at something, I'm either incapable of being strong at it, or maybe I don't care about it enough to make myself strong at it. And so then you either make yourself better, or you build teams around you to cover your own gaps. And then, but then as a leader, you're making a choice to bring people that are strong in areas that are weak, and you've got to understand how to kind of manage those aspects as well. But I think that kind of clear, radio voice thing, I think is a little overvalued, and I think introspection is undervalued.
And have you seen, I'm not an expert in leadership by any means, but I've seen these kind of iron fist leaders, and I've seen these more kind of empowering leaders, and I've experienced both of them,
Sure.
both in business and when I had a career. I used to be a teacher, and I can tell you the tale of two principals. That at one school I went to, and this guy was just a real hard ass, and he was like, your shirt must be tucked in, and you must be here during all of the meetings, and it was very like, you're not meeting my standards kind of leadership, and I remember like there was a lot of compliance, but it just felt like crap all the time,
And
and
probably
then.
not a lot of overachievement.
Yeah, it's like we're meeting your line, and then I leave and I go to this next school, and this guy was I made it a point to come up to me, like we met like in the initial interview. He came up to me like 2 months later and he said, "Josh, I just want to let you know you're doing a great job, and I know we hired the right person because you're gonna crush it." And then I was like, hell yeah, I am, like, and I wanted to go out there and I would walk through walls for this guy. But I don't know if I was actually crushing it or not. I'm probably making mistakes, but the fact that he came in and said, "No, I'm installing this confidence into you so that you can go and run with it." It was like that always stuck out to me because it was like one after another and they were violently different. And I felt and behaved very differently in those two environments.
Yeah, I think, I mean, personally, I'm more of the latter than the former. I would like to believe that my teams feel empowered and supported, and I have rules that I live by, like praise goes down and complaints go up, right? That sort of thing. Like, I feel like that's a good model. That being said, I understand that sort of authority figure thing that is needed in certain moments, and it's a tool, right? It's a tool to use in certain situations and certain environments. Like, we should, let's be honest, if you were in the role of leading people on Paris Island, taking Marines through boot camp, you need to be more of that side, right, than just the empowering. You don't end up with competent Marines if you just make them feel good about themselves in that moment. So I think it's about figuring out where to apply the different styles. And I had an individual that worked for me a number of years ago who I would say was incredibly intelligent, hyper competent, but had a style that was really rough and very direct, and my way or no way. And if you don't do it my way, I don't think you belong here because you're not intelligent enough, that sort of thing. Like, really, really on the line. And obviously, our styles clashed, right? So it wasn't my style. And but I would tell you that if I had a big transformation that was failing and we needed to get it back on track, that's the person I would go to. They would get it back on track. I mean, you're going to have to deal with the consequences and the hurt feelings and the bodies in the wake, right? But they would have done that. And so I think, as when we think about different styles, I don't think I just fundamentally don't believe that one style is the best. I think we should figure out what's the right style for each of us, and we should also understand that we should adapt in the moment. And mostly I'm not that guy, but occasionally I've had to be. It's this way or no way, or it's this is the only thing. But I think for me, I just couldn't do it, right? I would feel like it wasn't, I wouldn't feel authentic. I wouldn't feel like it was me being me. And at the end of the day, I would feel like crap, right? Because it's just, that everyone around you is doing what you're telling them to do out of fear and compliance, and not because they believe that you're helping set the right strategy and vision, and we're all kind of in it together. It just feels like we're doing it this way. Like I said, there's no overachievement, right? The metrics will be obtained, but no further.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so tell me about who is the best person that you can help? How can they connect with you? And what is it that you do for them?
Yeah, I think it starts with someone who wants to be a better leader. And leader's a broad term, right? So maybe it's someone who's they're a first time leader of people, or they're put into they maybe they manage no one directly, but now they're running a program, right? So but it starts with they have to want, right? I'm not going to go and beat down someone's door and say, I'm here to make you better. Damn it. That's not me. They've got to want it. And I think someone who's willing to put in the time, I'm a big believer in practical efforts, like meaning there are exercises we should go through. There are things we should revisit. Everything we go through in coaching kind of builds up. Like I said, it starts with those basics of voice, persona, focus, but it builds on, and there's lots of practical exercises, and I'm hesitant to use the term role play, but there's a little bit of things. So someone who's willing to go through and put in the effort to understand that this will really make you better, and trust, right? So I think there's that, but it's also increasingly these days, it's people that are willing to embrace kind of alternative forms, because I don't have the reach to get to everyone in every hour of every day. And so we've built AI tools that help kind of provide like a coach in your pocket along the way. And so nowadays you've got to have someone who's not only willing to spend the time with me, whether it's in person or virtual, but use Studio Coach along the way as well as a way to help reinforce. But you've got to do it. Like, it's just like when you're going through school, not only do you have the classroom stuff, but there's a reason they assign homework. It's not just to give you more things to do. It's to help kind of reinforce the lessons that you were learning and kind of carry you through. But if you don't want it, I can't help you. I think that's the simplest way.
Yeah, makes sense. And where do we go to learn more?
Simplest place would be go to leadership-studio.com, which is my website, or you can find me or the Leadership Studio on LinkedIn. There is a, let's say, a theoretical Instagram page, but it's not not it's more dormant than anything else. But the website is a great place, LinkedIn is a great place, and we're really good about, kind of constant contact and highly responsive on those areas as well. So those are the best ways.
Yep, you got it. Leadership-studio.com.
Correct.
All right, very good. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Crispin Thompson, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets things done, a little bit about leadership. For those of you who want to connect directly with him, you can learn more and go to leadership-studio.com. And once again, if you are looking to expand your capacity as a business owner, we'll place a high-performing VA into your business and manage them for you, so that you can grow faster with less stress. You can go to vaiq.net to learn more. And until next time, remember this: if you want the win, push your chips in.